thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading Psalm 150. It's entitled, "Let Everything Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the exhortation here in Psalms. I ask you would please bless us, bless our time together, and help us to carry forth your message during this next week and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Micah just read, this is Psalm 150. It is the last of the Psalms within the collection of the Psalms. And it calls every believer to praise the Lord, to worship Him. To worship Him in the sanctuary with all instruments that make noise. And here's the question that comes up. Like, why? Why praise Him? Is it because He needs it? Does He need our praise? Does He need that encouragement when we praise Him? Does the God who created everything need our praise? Right? But meanwhile, Scripture is encouraging us to praise, to make a noise. Right? And for some of us, we can make a noise. Right? For some of us, sometimes the noise is too loud, right? And the noise bothers us, right? But when we get to heaven, it is impossible to comprehend the kind of praise that will be going on in heaven. To praise Him with every bit of your being. To praise Him when things are going good. To praise Him when things are not going so good. Because in the end, it's not about us. It's not about our comfort. It's not about, well, do you feel like praising or not, right? Scripture isn't saying this as a suggestion. It's not looking to have your buy-in. Come on, let's go praise the Lord together. No, it's not saying that, right? It's an exaltation to praise Him. And then as we praise the Lord, sometimes our praise helps us to go from one place to another. Right. Praise could be a conduit for healing, because it puts our perspectives in a better place. Praise is a source of sometimes an answer. It can help us to reorientate our thinking. Have you ever felt that just life in general is sometimes difficult? Right? And all of a sudden you feel emotionally overwhelmed. That sometimes it's even hard to get your head off the pillow. Right? Praise can be the very fuel for creativity. All of a sudden, imagination is sparked. Praise is an oasis where all of a sudden you and I can just enjoy everything that God has given us. And all of a sudden, in the midst of praising, you can be resting. It could be a source of energy where all of a sudden it propels us to do beyond our imagination. It cheers our heart. Sometimes we don't want to praise, and by the time we're done praising, we don't want to stop praising. There's a level of security and defense when we praise, because God is at the center of our worship. There's a vindication when all of a sudden we praise, because if God is for us, who could be against us? There's relief and comfort as we praise. Because praising God gets us outside of ourselves. It offsets temptation and that self-reflection that we sometimes get into. It's a compass. It reorientates us to the priorities of life. It is the very foundation in which we stand on. That nothing is going to shake you or me while we're praising the Lord. It's eternal, right? Because that is what's happening right now in the presence of God, right? Can you imagine what that praise sounds like right now? Right? Do you think you're going to say, hey, guys, it's a little loud? Hey, you know what? I don't like that tune. Right. You know what? I don't like that piece. Right? No, it's like you're going to be swept up in praise. Right? It is a metaphor for work, right? Because it's the very thing you and I are going to do once we get into the presence of God. Work in our praise. Right? And it also gives us this objective of work. What's important, what's not important. It is what we say when we cry out, hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, praise, Yahweh, Lord, praise the Lord, right? Is what we are saying every time we cry out, hallelujah. It is the thing that makes it about God and not about us. And you know how many times that is helpful? Especially when you and I find ourselves in seasons of trouble, right? Where we feel overwhelmed. And even in the midst of our trouble, we ask ourselves, Lord, where are you? And if we would be reminded that in the midst of our trouble, maybe we should just praise God, right? And watch how he turns everything around. Because here's what you need to know, and it's something I need to be reminded of, that everything that God provides is because of love. Everything. Right? And that's to the believer and to the unbeliever. Right? It's, ask yourself, what are you doing right now to keep your heart beating? If it wasn't for God. What do you do every day or every night to watch either the sun go up or the sun go down? For most of us, for our entirety of our life, we experience that every day of our life. And all of that reminds us of the one who created it, our Lord and Savior. And all of Scripture reminds us of the importance of praise. That's what we have in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, praise. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect worship. As you live your life, as you seek him, right? And here's the thing about the Psalms, right? We've been going through them for these past few months, right? And it's going to end on Thanksgiving Eve. And on Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to do Psalm 100. But we've been going through all of them. And we've heard psalms of distress. We've heard psalms of asking God to intervene. We've been hearing psalms of a royal psalm, the crowning of a king, a psalm for harvest, a psalm for planting. Every aspect of life, we've been hearing different psalms, right? And all of these psalms focus on us needing something from God. But all of a sudden, this is us acknowledging who God is. As a matter of fact, Psalm 150 isn't asking for anything from us or from David or any of the psalmists. It's just calling us to worship and praise the Lord. And when you look at the collection of all the psalms, right, all the psalms are broken up into what we would call five books. The five books make the collection of the Psalter, which we read. And here's what you need to know, right? That at the end of every book of the psalm, the very last verse of that very last book praises God. Right? So when you look at book one, which is chapter 1 through 41, the last verse of chapter 41, verse 13 says this: Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And then we have book two, which is from 42 to 72. Verses 18 and 19 say, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone belongs, does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Go to book three, which is chapters 73 through 89. Verse 52 says, blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Book 4, which goes from 90 to 103, 106. Verse 48 says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. And then we come to book 5. Book 5 does a little thing a little bit different, because the last chapters, chapter 146, 147, 148, 149, all of them start the same way. Praise the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord. Obviously, Scripture wants us to do something. As we look at each one of these books of the Psalter, and then we look at this last one, it wants us to praise God. And to praise God is another way of saying that each one of these statements is really a doxology for God, of who He is. Right, so we're going to look at these verses. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Hallelujah is what He is saying. So it's to praise the God who keeps the covenant promises. Right, is what He is saying here. That the promises that the Lord made, He is going to keep them, has kept them, will not break them. And as a result, we praise Him for that. Praise God, right? So you would say that hallelujah, right? Because El is for Elohim, God. Praise Him in the sanctuary, right? And the sanctuary is usually the place where we tend to gather, right? And can you imagine His sanctuary? The people that will be there worshiping. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there'll be a group of people in the corner having a private conversation? No. Because they are going to be praising God. And it's going to come from a place of wanting to because of who He is, not because they have to. Nothing's going to distract from the act of praising God. Right? A lot of times we have a lot of distractions, a lot of things that pull our attention from one thing to another. Right, and all of a sudden, everybody's focus is going to be on one thing and one thing alone. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. And if you're reading the old King James Version, it's the firmaments, right, of God. And it's supposed to give you a picture of this blanket that is covering one end of the earth to the other. Right, to praise Him, everything that's under the heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Right, ask yourself, what are God's mighty deeds? Right, as you start to recall from memory all the things that you know in reference to Scripture. Right. Creation, the creating of Adam and Eve as He breathes into Adam. Eventually, the flood, but the saving of Noah and the family and the animals. But if you're going through the Old Testament, the one probably that sticks out the most is the Exodus. Right, where God Himself redeemed his people with an outstretched arm after 400 years of captivity. But my hope is that when you think of his mighty deeds, you would think of the work of Jesus Christ, because nothing is mightier than that deed, where he conquers sin and death for you and for me, for those of us who would put our faith and trust in his finished work. And some of us have an idea of what that means, but for some of us, we don't know. Right? And when you stop and think that his work on the cross enables us to not receive what we are deserving of the judgment and wrath of our Father, right? Because that's what you and I are owed. But because of Jesus, we don't receive that. And then the question is that worthy to be praised? Is that worthy to just sit and go, amen? It isn't about the football game later. It isn't about the shopping you're going to do for Thanksgiving later. It isn't about all the plans that you have later. It's that God has done this for you and for me, so that you and I would be able to enjoy this relationship with our Heavenly Father. According to his excellent greatness. My hope is that as you keep hearing this, right, something is just boiling inside of you that eventually is going to come out as praise, as worship. And it's not to diminish the pain and suffering that some of us also go through. It's in the midst of the pain and suffering that we praise God. It's in the midst of a broken heart that we praise God. It's in the midst of disappointment that we praise God, because he and he alone is the only one worthy to be praised. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Right, it's with every possible instrument that's available that we praise the Lord. Right, it's just a big worship sound, right, that we can make. And here's what I do know, right? It's that word for trumpet is shofar, right? And have you ever heard one of those play? Right, it's like sometimes it's an odd sound. Right, it's like it's one of those sounds that if you was to put it within a band, you would say to that person, "Can you play that a little bit more quietly?" Right, because it throws everything else off. Right, but you can see that from God's point of view. Right, that's not what he's thinking about, right? He's thinking about the things that make musical noise, right? And that all of that is to praise him. And did you see it? Dancing, right? That it's okay to move around, right? It's okay to loosen up, right? Right? It's okay. Right, it's okay to lift your hands up high and worship our Lord. To make a joyful noise to the Lord and praise him for all that he's done. And for everything he has not done yet for you, we praise him. Because when we stop and think, apart from going to the cross and conquering sin and death, he doesn't need to do anything else for us. But he does. He does. Right? And here's one of those things, right? It's, if Scripture says something once, it's important. If Scripture says something twice, that's even that much more. And we know that when Scripture says something three times, it's really by you and I paying attention, right? How many times has He said praise, 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 praise? Praise God, right? With everything we have. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then He says it again, praise the Lord. Right? And then you ask yourself, well, what has breath? Right? And that word breath in the Hebrew is the same word in reference to the breath that was breathed into Adam. Right? And it's that thing that God deposited into humanity that God is calling us to give back to Him. Right? To praise Him. To worship Him. To not be worried about what the next person's going to say or not say, but to worship Him. Right? Let me ask you this question. If God was to call you home right now, how would you want God to find you? Doing what? My hope is praising God. Right? Hallelujah. The one who is worthy to be praised, the one who keeps His promises. It's the very thing we step into when we start our Advent season in a couple weeks, where we are reminded of His first coming, but more so, we are reminded that He's going to come again. Right? And you should know and hold on that if God's word says He's going to come again, He's going to come again. So we cry out just what it says at the end of Revelation, Lord, come quickly. Maranatha, come. Praise the Lord with everything that's within you. Praise the Lord with your breath. Praise the Lord with dance. Praise the Lord with shout. Right? And let me ask you this question, right? Do you think we could be loud enough to bother our neighbors? I mean, I'm just asking, right? They don't have a problem bothering us on a Sunday, right? It's with a blower, a dog barking, right? But do you think, right, that we can bother them this morning, right, as we praise our God, as we worship our God, right? So here's what I have, right? So I have a song embedded into my slides, right? And it's a praise song. And my hope is that you would be able to worship God with your entire being. If you feel like dancing, dance. If you feel like shouting, shout. But praise God. Right? So the worship team's not going to come back out here. This is our last worship song. And then I will come and pray our benediction. Right? So the hope is that it just frees us to worship our God. Amen? Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.